emotional bites. It creates a different feeling, you know. In your head, no one can hear you scream.
Uh-huh.
We're going deep on fear today.
Okay.
Not the jump scare in the dark kind of fear.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about how fear messes with your brain, your body.
Yeah.
Especially when things get really intense.
Mm-hmm.
Think childhood memories, anxiety, even some of those reactions where you think, did I really just do that?
It's interesting because we often use the words fear and anxiety as if they're the same thing.
Right, right.
But they are actually two very different experiences.
Okay, so let's untangle those a bit. What's the difference,
mm-hmm.
and why should we care about the difference?
So picture this, a snarling dog running straight at you.
Okay, got it.
That's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain slams on the panic button.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about survival. Heart's racing. You get a jolt of energy.
You bet.
Suddenly, nothing else matters except that immediate threat.
Right.
Now, anxiety. It's less about a clear and present danger and more about worrying about what might happen in the future. And both are completely natural responses.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Intense fear can really mess with your ability to think straight. It even disrupts your ability to understand what's going on in your own head, let alone anyone else's. You lose that ability to mentalize.
Wait, so fear can throw my emotional intelligence out the window? That's terrifying.
It can. It's true.
Wow.
When fear takes over, it's like your brain throws a survival rave.
Rave.
Your amygdala, the part of your brain that's basically an alarm bell, starts blasting heavy metal music.
Oh.
Meanwhile, your prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for rational thought, is stuck wearing noise-canceling headphones.
Ah, so it's like fear cranks up the emotional volume while hitting mute on logic. No wonder we can't think straight when we're scared.
Yeah.
But tell me more about this mentalizing thing. You know, sounds kind of important.
Yeah. Mentalizing is our ability to understand our own thoughts and feelings as well as the thoughts and feelings of others.
Okay.
It's what allows us to have empathy, build relationships, and navigate social situations. But when fear takes over, we kind of lose access to that higher level thinking.
Yikes. So basically, fear turns us into emotional cavemen grunting and running from shadows.
Well, not exactly,
okay.
But it does shift us into a more primitive mode of thinking and reacting.
Right.
We become less able to consider other perspectives or make complex decisions.
Yeah.
And this brings us to how we try to deal with all this fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
We have this amazing toolbox of coping mechanisms. Think of it like a ladder.
Okay, I like that. A ladder.
You start at the top with sophisticated strategies like talking things out, problem solving, seeking support.
Okay, healthy stuff.
But as anxiety climbs that ladder, you might start reaching for those comfort tools.
Mm.
Avoidance, distraction, maybe even a whole tub of ice cream.
So the higher the anxiety, the lower we go on the coping ladder. And what happens when we hit the bottom rung? Do we just fall off the ladder completely?
That's when things get really messy.
Uh-oh.
It's called frank disorganization. Basically, your coping skills go on strike. Picture someone frantically wringing their hands, mm-hmm. pacing back and forth, maybe even struggling to form a coherent sentence.
Not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how this all ties back to those childhood memories we talked about.
Yeah.
Could this kind of meltdown be linked to what happened to us way back when?
Absolutely. Let's paint a picture. A young child whose caregiver is both a source of comfort and fear.
Okay, I'm following you.
That creates a really tricky paradox. It's called fear without solution.
Fear without solution.
Yeah, where the person who should be your safe haven is also the source of your distress.
Whoa, that's a real head scratcher. How does a child even begin to make sense of that kind of mixed message? It's like emotional whiplash.
Sadly, they often can't.
Wow.
This paradox can completely overwhelm their ability to self-regulate.
All right.
And it can lead to something called disorganized attachment.
Okay.
To put it simply, it's like feeling like you never know which version of a person you're going to get. And that inconsistency can make it really tough to build secure relationships later in life.
That makes total sense. If the person you're supposed to trust is unpredictable and frightening, it's like building your emotional foundation on quicksand.
Exactly. It's like trying to learn to ride a bike with someone who keeps changing the rules of gravity. No wonder those early experiences of fear without solution can set the stage for a lifelong struggle with anxiety and fear.
Yeah, makes sense.
So we've talked about how fear, even though it feels like a villain, is actually a crucial part of our survival toolkit.
Right, right. It's like our internal smoke detector.
Exactly.
Alerting us to potential danger.
Yeah, but as we've discussed, fear can become a real problem when it's excessive, chronic, or, you know, throws those fear without solution ragers we talked about.
Right, like when your supposed safe space turns into a haunted house.
Exactly.
So where do we even begin to untangle this mess?
Well, understanding how we perceive and size up threats is key.
Okay.
It's not just about the actual danger. It's about how our brains choose to RSVP to that danger.
So two people could walk into the same haunted house.
Right.
One might be screaming for the exits, while the other one is happily taking selfies with the ghosts.
Exactly.
It all depends on how they read the room.
Precisely. Think about public speaking.
Yeah.
Some folks are terrified, while others practically tap dance on stage. Same situation, completely different threat level assessments.
Okay.
And those perceptions are shaped by a whole cocktail of ingredients. Past experiences, personality traits, maybe even a dash of genetics.
Okay, so it's not as simple as just telling ourselves to chill out or grow a spine.
Right.
There's a whole emotional algorithm running in the background.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to show ourselves and others a little compassion when it comes to fear.
Right.
You can't just willpower our way out of it.
Yeah.
We need to understand where it's coming from and develop some clever strategies to manage it effectively.
Okay, so let's talk strategy. You mentioned positive disintegration.
Yes.
This idea that fear can be a launch pad for growth. How do we turn that concept into a reality?
Well, the first step is understanding your own personal fear patterns.
Okay.
What sends your barometer into the red zone? How does your body react? Which coping mechanisms do you usually reach for? And are they actually helping you in the long run or just offering a temporary escape?
So it's like becoming a fear detective.
Exactly.
Gathering clues to understand how fear operates in our own lives.
Once you've cracked the case, you can start building your personalized toolkit of coping strategies.
Oh.
And trust me, there's no shortage of options.
Uh-huh. All right. Good to know.
Some people find that relaxation techniques like deep breathing or meditation are like a soothing balm for their nervous system.
Okay, makes sense.
Others find that challenging negative thought patterns like those what-if monsters that love to lurk in the shadows helps them reclaim their peace of mind.
So we're basically creating a custom fear-fighting arsenal.
Yeah.
Tailored to our own individual needs and triggers.
That's the idea. And remember, this isn't about trying to eradicate fear entirely.
Right.
Fear is a natural emotion. It's part of what makes us human.
Yeah.
The goal is to become the manager of your fear.
Okay.
Not let it manage you.
I love that.
Yeah.
Managing fear. Not letting it become the boss of you. Is there anything else we need to know about turning fear from a foe into a friend? Maybe even a creative collaborator.
Yeah. There's one more piece to this fear puzzle, and it might be the most surprising one yet.
Okay, lay it on me.
This idea that fear can actually be a source of creativity and inspiration.
Wait, hold on. So fear isn't just a party crasher.
Nope.
It's also like a secret muse hiding in plain sight. I'm all for embracing the unexpected, but this sounds a little like befriending a gremlin.
It might seem counterintuitive, but think about it. When we're scared, our senses go into overdrive.
Okay.
Our minds start brainstorming escape routes. Suddenly, we're thinking outside the box. That intensity can be a breeding ground for some really creative breakthroughs.
So fear is like that friend who drags you to karaoke night, even though you swear you can't sing, and then you end up belting out like an epic power ballad.
I like that analogy. Fear can definitely push us beyond those self-imposed limitations and make us question our assumptions.
Yeah.
It can be the spark that ignites innovation, experimentation, ideas we never would have dreamt up otherwise.
Okay, you've got me intrigued. But can you give me some real-world examples? How has fear actually fueled people's creative endeavors?
Think about artists who create those haunting works that explore the darkest corners of our emotions. Fear, loss, vulnerability.
Okay.
They're taking those raw feelings and turning them into something powerful and moving. Or musicians who pour their anxieties into songs that resonate with millions. Fear can be a muse, a driving force behind some of the most profound and impactful creative expressions.
That's incredible. It's like fear is this raw material that we can mold and shape into something beautiful and meaningful. Instead of letting it hold us back, we can actually use it to fuel our creative fire.
Exactly. And it's not just limited to the arts. Imagine entrepreneurs who stare down their fear of failure and launch successful businesses, or activists who channel their fear of injustice into movements that create real change. Fear can be a catalyst for action, for pushing boundaries, for leaving our mark on the world.
This is seriously mind-blowing. We've gone from fearing fear to recognizing its potential as this incredible source of energy and inspiration.
That's the beauty of really understanding fear, isn't it? It's not about becoming fearless, but about becoming fear-aware.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing fear's power, both its destructive and creative sides, and choosing how we want to dance with it.
So instead of letting fear trap us in its dungeon, we can learn to use it to break free, to create, to innovate, to connect with our deepest selves, and maybe even make the world a little brighter in the process.
That's the idea. And it won't always be easy. There will be stumbles and setbacks. But understanding fear is the first step towards turning it into a force for good.
Well, there you have it, folks. We've gone from fear-stricken to fear-savvy. Uncovering the secrets of this powerful emotion, discovering its hidden talents. Remember, fear is a part of life, but it doesn't have to be the director of your life. Embrace its energy, challenge its limitations, and use it as fuel to create, to grow, and to live a life that's both meaningful and fulfilling. And stay curious, my emotion-based friends.
We'll be back after a short break to explore those connections and delve deeper into how we can manage those sometimes overwhelming emotions. Stay tuned.